This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So this then is the first late issue on Mishnebrura. We're starting with Simon Reish Mem Beis, which is the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. And just to give you a bit of background, the top piece that you have in thick print, that's the Shulchan Aruch, written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. And in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see pieces written in a lighter print, like on the second page, you'll see a piece written in a lighter print. Sometimes it's in parenthesis, sometimes it's just in a lighter print. That's the Ramo, the Moshe Isserles, who lived at the same time as the Mechaber. And what was interesting was they were both writing a Shulchan Aruch unknown to each other. Rabbi Yosef Karo was a Sfaradi living in Tzfat, and Moshe Isserles was an Ashkenazi living in Krakow. And they were both working on a Shulchan Aruch simultaneously, and the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, published his first. And the Ramo, instead of publishing a competing work, simply converted his into notes on the Mechabers. We call him the Mechaber. So wherever he disagreed, he commented, but he left Rabbi Yosef Karo's as the primary Shulchan Aruch. So when we talk about the Shulchan Aruch, we're talking about the combination of both. And that's the top piece. So when you see Reish Mem Beis at the top, that's chapter Reish Mem Beis 242. Chapter Reish Mem Beis, that's chapter 242 of the first of the four sections of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is divided into four sections. The first is Orach Chaim, which are the day-to-day things. That's davening, Shabbos, Yom Tov, is what is in Orach Chaim. And this is chapter 242 of that. And it has one paragraph. We'll see. If Echod, this has one paragraph. Below that, you'll see the Be'er Heitev. The Be'er Heitev is a neat summary of two classical Meforshim on the Shulchan Aruch, which you don't have in this version. In the big Shulchan Aruch, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, you've got the Mogen Avraham and the Taz. And the Be'er Heitev summarizes the essence of, certainly where there's halachic relevance, of the Mogen Avraham and the Taz. So that's the Be'er Heitev, nothing to do with the Mishnah Berurah itself. And then you have three pieces by the Chofetz Chaim. The Mishnah Berurah is the Chofetz Chaim, the Bir Haloche is the Chofetz Chaim, and the Shaar Tzion at the bottom is the Chofetz Chaim. So that's all one work. The Mishnah Berurah is the shortened version. The Bir Haloche is some of the halachic extended background, and the Shaar Tzion are sources. So the three together, really, when we talk about Mishnah Berurah, we're really talking about the three together, and this is all a work of the Chofetz Chaim. So let's get into it and see how we go. So the chapter in Shulchan Aruch is called Lehizaher Bichvod Shabbos. One has to be mindful of the honor of Shabbos. That in itself is already a bit of a chiddush, isn't it? That there's a din, there's a mitzvah to be mindful of them, of showing, of creating honor for the Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch reads, Afilu mi shetzorich la'achirim. Even a person who is dependent on others, im yesh lo me'at mishaloi, if he's got just a little of his own, if a person is supplementing his income with charity, let's say he's earning a certain amount and he's supplementing a little bit, tzorich lezarez atzmoi, he has to energize himself, urge himself, compel himself, lechabed es haShabbos, to demonstrate honor to the Shabbos. V'loy omru asei Shabbos chochol, v'al titztarech librios. The Shulchan Aruch asks a question, uncharacteristically. It's not usual that he engages in dialogue. But here he does, and he says, you might ask that we have a principle in the Gemara, which says, asei Shabbat chochol, make your Shabbos like a weekday, v'al titztarech librios, and don't need charity. So don't use charity to make a special Shabbos meal. If you've got no money of your own, have a hard-boiled egg like you would have on the weekdays. So you might say, in that case, why am I saying that even somebody who's dependent on others needs to make an effort? That is only Ela L'misha Ashor D'chukaloi, when somebody is so financially oppressed, B'yose, extremely, then we say, you know, don't do anything special for Shabbos. But otherwise, Al Ken Tzorich L'Tzamtzem B'Sha'ar Yomim K'dei L'Chabed HaShabbos. cut down on the other days. Don't cut down on Shabbos. If you have to cut down on other days in order to manage Shabbos, so be it. But don't cut down on Shabbos. That doesn't mean, by the way, and we'll see as we go through, that doesn't mean you have to make banquets. Kovod is not about quantity. Kovod is about delicacy. That's what determines Kovod, and sometimes we get it wrong. And in fact, the problem with Kovod being about quantity is that not only is that not necessarily what Kovod means, and we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah more what Kovod means, but also it lands up that the women have no time to enjoy Shabbos. They're busy preparing and setting and washing and all that kind of stuff, and that's not a Shabbos either. It's about doing something that's Kovodic, something that's beautiful, rather than something that's voluminous. Mitakonas Ezra, it's one of the laws that Ezra introduced. Shiyu mechabsim begodim bechamishi b'shabbos b'knei kved ha-shabbos. It's one of the takonas of Ezra that you should launder your clothes on Thursday because of the honor of Shabbos. So why is Ezra telling us that? What is he afraid that we'll launder our clothes on Shabbos? Because clearly we're not going to do that. So what's the difference? What day we launder it on? What's the idea of laundering on Thursday? The idea there is that your laundering is part of Kovod Shabbos. It's not just to have clean clothes on Shabbos. So launder on Monday and put them away till Shabbos. The idea is, so really, when the ideal time to launder the clothes would have been Friday. Why can't you launder on Friday? Because you're busy cooking. So it's not a suitable day. So the idea is to launder as close to Shabbos as possible, so that you're doing that lichvod Shabbos, so that you're not only laundering as some kind of routine, but even in your weekday activities, you're doing it for the sake of Shabbos. So just as on Friday you're cooking for Shabbos, so on Thursday you're laundering for Shabbos. That's Kovod Shabbos. To start getting yourself to start psyching yourself into Shabbos days before, that's what Kovod Shabbos is. Because you can't start Kovod Shabbos on Friday night when you come back from shul. It takes a while to get into something which has Kovod. And that's really what Kovod means. If somebody's coming to your house who's very mechubed, you start organizing before. If you're going to something which is very dignified, you start getting ready a long time before. So Shabbos too, when we talk about, we have to be nizar, as he said in his title, that you've got to be mindful to be mechabed Shabbos, that means you start that on Thursday. And then the Ramo adds, Noagin lalush kedei shiur chalo babayis lasos mehin lechomim liftza aleihem b'shabbos b'yom tov. It's a minag to knead sufficient dough to take challah and to make bread from them for Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'hu mikhved Shabbos b'Yom Tov, and that's also because of Kovod Shabbos b'Yom Tov. Ein l'Shabbos, and one shouldn't change the minhag. So what is the Kovod Shabbos? It's not to have beautiful bread. It's not to have good bread. Because then you could just as well go and buy it. Once again, it's to do things during the week for Shabbos. That's the beauty of baking one's own challah. People sometimes wonder, why do women bake challah in this day and age? Why do you bake challah? You bake challah so as to be able to become involved in preparing for Shabbos well before Shabbos comes in. Some places they used to eat a kind of cottage pie on Shabbos. Zechel Amon, and that was a memory of the man, Shayom B'chusu L'mailo L'mata, which was covered on top and the bottom. But I haven't seen people taking too much notice of this minhag. It's not required, says the Ramo. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says about being mechabed Shabbos. So the principle here, what's important when we learn Shulchan Aruch is not just to learn the details of the halacha. That's one small part of it. What's important is to try and ask yourself, what is the principle? In each paragraph of Shulchan Aruch, there's an underlying principle. What's the underlying principle here? The underlying principle is that Kovod Shabbos starts during the week. Kovod Shabbos doesn't start on Friday night. And whatever you can do during the week to start bringing Shabbos in, that you should do. Two examples, baking challah and laundering, are two things that you can already get into, which are very specifically for Shabbos. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah gives quite a lot of background here. The way the Mishnah Berurah works, you'll see there's a little aleph in brackets, which relates to the little aleph at the Shulchan Aruch. Whenever you, there's a little, the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, before the afilu, there's a little aleph. That's the aleph that goes to the Mishnah Berurah, and that's why he rewrites the word afilu, so that you know that's what he's explaining. Hinei ikar mitzvahs oinek Shabbos. the principle underlying the mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos, Nitparesh Lanu Al Yedei HaNeviim, has been explained to us by the Neviim. So don't think Oinek Shabbos is some invention of the rabbis. We know what the laws of Shabbos are. That comes from the Torah. That's not a problem. Let me just turn this thing off. What you might wonder is that where does the din of Oinek Shabbos come from? Was that some late introduction of the rabbis? No, says the Mishnah Berurah. The mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos already comes from the Neviim. As it says in the Psukim, you shall call Shabbos an Oneg. You shall declare Shabbos an Oneg. It's got to be a time of Oneg. The Yesh Poskim, and now some Poskim will hold, Shesvir Lehu, the Ikorahu Minatera. Some said even comes from the Torah, not only from the Levian. Shah Shabbos will be Chlau Mikroi Kurdish. Because Shabbos is one of the Mikra'i Kodesh. Mikra'i Kodesh is the word that's used in the Torah to talk about Yom Tov. Mikra'i Kodesh, times that people are called together for sanctity. And all the Yom Tovim, where it talks about Mikra'i Kodesh, it talks about the Yom Tov. But says the Mishnah Berurah, Shabbos is one of those days. Shneim Arav Yom Hashvi Shabbos Shabbatoin Mikra'i Kodesh. It says quite clearly on the seventh day, it's a Shabbos, it's a Mikra'i Kodesh. Well, Mikra'i Kodesh Pirshu Chazal B'Sifro. And the term Mikra Kodesh, Chazal explain in the Sifro, and they say that means, Dahainu, how do you make something, how do you declare something Kodesh? Time, we're talking about time. To declare an object Kodesh, we know how you do that, how you declare an object holy. But how do you declare time holy? Say Chazal, Dahainu lekadcho ulechabdoi biksus nekia uleangoi beoneg achilu ushtia. That is, to sanctify the day and honor it, clean clothing, and to have pleasure in it through the pleasure of eating and drinking. That's how you declare it as Kodesh. That's so interesting that such a physical act converts the day from being ordinary into being sanctified. The Fligul Chazal Ma'od B'mitzvah, and the Chazal in the Gemara are very extreme in this mitzvah. The Omru, the Chol HaMa'anegis HaShabbos mostly in the Nachal of Mitzorim. Anybody who is Ma'aneg, who brings pleasure into and from the Shabbos, has unbounded inheritance, just unbounded abundance. The Nitzol Mishibud Malchius, and he's saved from being enslaved by governments and society. And he gets wealth. So Chazal talked very strongly, quite apart from the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. This has got nothing to do with keeping Shabbos. This is assuming you're keeping Shabbos already. Here we're talking about how do you elevate Shabbos, how do you make Shabbos special, how do you sanctify Shabbos, how do you create a very specific dignity in Shabbos. There are three chazal that define what this means. And he goes through each of the three. Aleph, the first one. Hod omru tzorich l'angoi, this that you've said that you've got to show oneg, bedagim gedolim, veroshe shumin, betavshil shel teragin. So the Gemara says it's like a whole fish, big fish, and the heads of shum is a certain kind of garlic. The tavshil shem teradim, certain types of turnips that were cooked in a way. It doesn't matter what it was. What he says is important. That was a delicacy in that time. This is about delicacy. It's not about big fish or turnips. It's about delicacy. And therefore, in each place, go by its minag. Use the food that they regard as oneg. And so you see how wrong we get it already. So what do we do? We go by tradition. They used to have chicken soup and chopped liver, and that's what they used to have. So that's what we used to have. That's not only. If in our time it's caviar and sushi, then that's what it should be. Whatever is special in your time, what you should make is a banquet on Shabbos. That's what it should be. Not a traditional same every Friday night. The same. Make what's a banquet there? What's a banquet? And it's got nothing to do with quantity. Again, again, again. It's got nothing to do with quantity. It's got to do with delicacy.
So
since most people enjoy meat and wine and delicacies, the kachita b'siman reishon and sif beis the yabi b'vosav yanim migdams kifi yecholta. That's why it says you should be able to provide as much meat and wine and delicacies as possible. But that's because in that time that was it. And if you've got people who are vegetarians who don't enjoy eating meat, that's fine. And if in our society there are other things that are valued more than meat, whatever it is, do what in our society is a demonstration of specialness. Number two, Bayez, Hoda Amru, the Afilu Dovar Mu'ad She'asur L'chod Shabbos, even a small little thing that you made specifically for Shabbos, Ki'a Mitzvah Se'enik Shabbos, you fulfilled the Mitzvah Se'enik Shabbos. The Afilu Kasa D'Harsana, even Kasa D'Harsana, which means little Dagim K'tanim Metugonim V'Shimnon, little fish that they used to fry in their own oil, which was a delicacy at that time. Again, in other words, it's not the quantity, it's the delicacy. And the third one, Gimel, how do Rabbi Akiva, that which Rabbi Akiva said, Asni Shabbat Chachov, Altit Stoet Librius, but don't go to the point where you have to collect charity to make a Shabbos. Bechilu Kodeh Ma'amodim Ubaifin Zed, Ahainu, Laman De'ef Sholei, if you can, here's the summary of it all. If you're able to, Tzorech L'chadduk Ifi Yechalta, spend whatever you can. U'mishasho D'chukalo B'yoser, and if a person is under pressure, Hainu She'en Lo Yirak Mozum Be'yisudus L'Shabbos, you can only manage two meals for a week. Make your Shabbos ordinary, don't go out and collect charity. You don't have to make shalashudas, you can make two, and you don't have to make these delicacy fish, just whatever you can manage. And if you've got enough money to be able to buy three meals and a little bit more, you must spend on the Shabbos. You don't keep that for the weekdays. The shikayim gibel su'udas b'kasa d'harsana. So the minimum is three su'udas and something special. Even if it's just little fish that are special, three su'udas and something special if you can financially manage it.